So again, there's only two reasons to break covenant. One is by death, you let out of covenant. The other one is when God takes you out of covenant. Next, we are connected together in destiny with those we have covenant with. We are connected together in destiny. Watch, go back to Ruth. Go back to Ruth. I want you to read it. I want you to see this. Go back to Ruth. Go back to Ruth. Ruth is between Judges and 1 Samuel. Go back to Ruth. Look at the 16th verse. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Now, I want you to notice, if you're reading in the King James Version, you're looking at 16th verse, the last part, it says, "And thy God," capitalized G, "shall be my God," capitalized G, which separates what God they're talking about from verse 15, when it says, "Thy sister-in-law is going back to her, unto her people and to her gods," lowercase g. So that means Ruth seen something that in Naomi's God that she didn't see in the God where she came, in the gods where she came from. So again, Ruth is connected in destiny with Naomi. She's connected in destiny with the person she has covenant with. Other words, Ruth realized there was something bigger to their relationship than just Naomi. And so without Naomi's input into, check this out now, it was Naomi's guidance, glory to God, it was Naomi's guidance that positioned Ruth to receive everything God had called Ruth to receive. If it wasn't for Naomi helping to guide Ruth into her growth, into her maturity, she told Ruth how to approach Boaz. She told Ruth how to glean. Now, mind you, watch this. This is key. I love it. Ruth was married to Naomi's son. He died. That covenant was no longer relevant. So the covenant that Naomi and Ruth had overrode all the feelings that Naomi may have had for her son and said, "Listen, what God is doing here is bigger." What I'm trying to get you to see is when you get connected with who God has connected you to, God will allow you to rise above all natural limitations. God will position you to rise above all natural limitations when you're connected in covenant with who he's connected you to. And who God connects you to is more concerned about God's agenda than they are about you, which that's what you want. See, what made you attracted to your wife, Chantel? Okay, number one, beautiful. That's attractive. They get your attention. Man, you understand. They get your attention. You see it, you're attracted, they get your attention. But once you get attracted physically, now you got to see what's on the inside. And the thing that attracted me the most to my wife was that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that she was always going to love God more than she loved me. That's all I want. I need you to love God more than you love me. I love God more than I love her, which means that she will always endeavor to obey God's voice. That's all you can ask for from somebody you're connected to, somebody you're in covenant. I just want you to always obey God's voice. Why? Because God is not the author of confusion. When God puts people together, it's for his purpose, for his agenda, to accomplish his will. So Naomi began to see a bigger picture because she realized that Ruth stayed with her not because of anything else other than the God that she saw in her. Ruth saw the God in Naomi and said, "There's more to you than just what I see. I'm going to be connected to you." That's what you must see about your leader. There's more to you than just what I see. I see God is working with you. I see God is using you. God has connected me to you so that we can pull out of me what God wants to do with me. If it wasn't for Naomi, Ruth would have never come into contact with Boaz. If Ruth had never become in contact with Boaz, it would have delayed the birth of Jesus Christ. I hope y'all are catching this. Next one. We carry the same concerns as those we have covenant with. Notice in the 17th verse, she said, Ruth told Naomi, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if I ought put death part thee and me. And verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded, meaning Ruth's mind was made up. Naomi, I'm going with you. Your God going to be my God. His agenda is going to be my agenda. I'm going with you. Now, remember now, watch this now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For those of you all who are not married, I've been saying this for years. When you are connected to who God has called you to be connected to spiritually, it will take care of everything else. When you get connected to who you supposed, when you get connected to the proper leader, that leader is going to snatch the slack out of you, going to put in you what needs to be put in you, going to hold you accountable to shape you and mold you. God is going to use that leader to shape you and mold you to the person who God has called you to be. When you allow God to shape and mold you, he will connect you physically, if you choose to be married, to the person who he has planned for you. Every time. Naomi, Ruth went with Naomi not knowing that she was going to get married again. But because she became connected and began to be concerned about God's agenda, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look what God did. My God. We carry the same concerns as those we have covenant with. You cannot walk in covenant selfish. You can't have any ounce of selfishness. There needs to be a level of maturity. And you must grow till you can, you must go to a position to where you can live for others, not just for yourself. In our country is based on individualism. Nothing wrong with being an individual, but you cannot be, I always use this word, you need to become interdependent, not just independent, interdependent. What interdependent means? Interdependent means I am an individual. I am independent enough to do what God has called me to do, but I'm dependent on others who God has connected me to. Hear that? I'm independent enough to do what God has called me to do, but I am dependent on those who God has connected me to. That's what interdependence is. You must be interdependent, not just independent, interdependent. I'm independent enough to do what God has called me to do, meaning I'm an individual enough to hear the voice of God and obey him. And what I said earlier, God is always going to connect you to somebody who can advance you, somebody who can hold you accountable, somebody who can pull the real you out of you. So you must become interdependent. Next, we must partake the same grace or the same empowerment as those we have covenant with. We need to have the same empowerment and equipping as we are pursuing the same course of destiny. Look at Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter and the fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Let this mind be in you. Other words, in order to walk like Christ, to be like Christ, you have to let the mind of Christ be on the inside of you. Now, watch this. Watch what does mind consist of? This mind consists of who, to being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You are a spirit just like God is a spirit. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 7, other words, you must carry the same grace as the person you are connected to. Meaning, watch this, meaning that you need to have the same mindset and you need to have the same, watch this, grace. See, this is why one of the things we said in LTMA, you know, I think the same thing is happening today that happened years ago with the word bishop. The word bishop is simply a pastor. And so people went around all of a sudden they throwing the title bishop around. I think today now they're starting to go around throwing the title of apostle around, which is very dangerous because now bishop was one level. Bishop wasn't mentioned in the fivefold. Bishop is another word for pastor. Not degrading or not decasting bishops, but if you really realize the idea of bishops and the religious authority of bishop came from the Catholic Church, okay? Came from the Catholic Church, and they built on some whole other stuff. They got a lot of stuff going on over there. So that crept into the rest of the body of Christ. The religious authority of a bishop. Bishop is a pastor, right? If you look at the qualification of a bishop, a lot of people fail in their qualifications, but that's Bible. That's not me. That's just Bible. You read it for yourself. But the same thing is starting to happen with the word apostle. Now, here's the danger. The word, the title apostle is part of the fivefold ministry gift, which means there's certain characteristics and qualifications that you have to be an apostle. One of the things that an apostle does is an apostle has territorial authority over demons and principalities in the area. So when you call yourself an apostle, that means you have authority and over territorial demons and principalities. Meaning when they hear and see you coming, they bow down. Which means if you call yourself an apostle and you do not have that authority or a power or grace, that means you will be tested. So now what going to happen if you're tested as an apostle without the grace of an apostle? You named yourself an apostle, or somebody prophesied to you an apostle, or somebody else called you to be an apostle, and somebody prophesied to you and somebody else confirmed it. Listen to this. An apostle needs no confirmation. Because an apostle is somebody who has been walking with God, who has been walking with Jesus, who has been spending time with Jesus and have went through some tests and have what? Fruit. So I said all of to say this. I myself, I'm connected to an apostle. So because I'm connected to an apostle, I am now apostolic. Meaning that now, because I'm connected to an apostle, when a demon tries to test me in this area, he cannot test me. Not because I'm an apostle, because I'm apostolic, because I'm connected to somebody who has territorial authority over the principalities and demons in the area. Because I'm connected, now watch this. What's the most important thing about an apostle? The most important thing about an apostle is that an apostle carries the agenda of God. So more so than being connected to a person, I am connected to an agenda that the person is carrying. What I mean by the person is carrying, that the apostle is carrying, that means the apostle can easily and gracefully unfold the agenda of God to me, that I can, Habakkuk 2, write the vision, make it plain, so he that runs with it, he that readeth can run with it. Meaning, because I'm connected to an apostle, my apostle is unfolding God's agenda to me, I'm able to read and grasp the agenda of God and execute. So because I do those things, I walk in the same grace as my apostle. The moment I am disconnected from my apostle means more than disconnected from the person, means I'm disconnected from the agenda of God. That means I'm no longer a part of what God wants to do. I'm no longer doing what God is asking me to do. So that means I'm no longer entitled to the empowerment of God. That is what happened to Lot. My God. Lot disconnected from the agenda, not from Abraham, from the agenda of God. God wanted to use Lot to expand his kingdom. But because Lot got selfish and didn't partake in the same grace, you get Sodom and Gomorrah. You get all that fooling that's going on. So you must have the same grace as those you are covenant with. The Philippian church had the same grace that Paul had. That's why the Philippian church was so powerful. They were drawn from the grace of the Apostle Paul. Because of the Apostle Paul, they were apostolic. And they became co-laborers with him. That's why you see Timothy become so powerful. Because Timothy understood that the Apostle Paul was pulling out of him everything God had designed to be in Timothy. If Timothy would have disconnected, that's why Paul said, you know, John Mark, go ahead. I don't have time to deal with you. I don't have time to deal with that foolishness. You're selfish. You want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Not when God say do it. So I don't have time to deal with that. So I see how apostles get frustrated with people because people want to do, they think it's this old paradigm where they can go to God for when they want to. They can go to God for what they want to instead of ever finding out what God wants to do with them. Next. We pay the price to honor those we have covenant with. Oh, that's the part that some don't like. We pay the price to honor those we have covenant. What it means, we pay the price to honor those we have covenant. That means sacrifices have to be made. Look at verse 18. Go back to Ruth. Look at verse 18. I want you to see this. Go back to Ruth. Go back to Ruth. I'm getting it. Go back to Ruth, verse 18. Look at verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking, meaning Naomi left imparting to Ruth. What price did Ruth pay? Ruth left her place of comfort. She's a Moab. Naomi's husband died, sons died. They get ready to go back. She get back to return to Judah. Ruth had to first leave her kinfolk. Had to leave what she was familiar with. She had to leave what she was comfortable with to go with Naomi. Going into a foreign land, a foreign people, doing a new thing. That's the type of price you must pay. You must be willing to come out of religion. And in coming out of religion, even if it means that you have to, now watch this very carefully, watch what I say. Think differently than your blood kinfolk. I didn't say separate yourself, I say think differently. See, a lot of people get that confused. No, I have relationships and I have fellowship with some of my blood relatives, but we think differently. Which means I probably won't be everywhere they be, and they won't be everywhere I be. That's just the way it is. Does it mean I love them any less? No. I love them just the same. But I am not about to let anybody get in between me and what God has called me to do and with who God has connected me to. You must be willing to pay the price of honor. Watch this. I need you to underline. Look on page 69. I need you to underline this. Look on page 69, the last paragraph, first sentence. It says, those who are ignorant of the true power of covenant. This is in the Lives of Honorable Men book, page 69, last paragraph, first verse. I mean, first statement, first sentence. Those who are ignorant of the true power of covenant serve with incremental sacrifices as they play with a wait and see attitude. They struggle throughout their journey in covenant with this issue of sacrifice. Remember, one of the accurate principles of covenant is you must be willing to sacrifice. Here it is, you must be willing to pay the price. You must sacrifice, knowing you got to sacrifice, and sacrificing is based on you and how you think. You must be willing to sacrifice. And that's something you have to decide to do. Lot was unwilling to sacrifice. Unwilling to sacrifice or yield to Abraham. Ruth was willing to pay the price to follow and honor the relationship she had with Naomi, because she saw the relationship with Naomi as a means to advance her. Come on now. God is willing to advance you, but he ain't going to advance you on your terms. God is always going to connect you to somebody that's going to hold you accountable. My God, always hold you accountable. Always calls you. That's why God told Abraham in Genesis 12 and 3, I'm going to bless those that bless you. Those that sacrifice to empower you. What I mean to empower? Those that sacrifice of themselves to help you accomplish my agenda. That's what God was telling Abram. Those that do that, I am going to empower them to prosper. Sacrifice is one of the major decisions that you have to make in covenant. Marriage, you have to sacrifice a lot. One of the main things in marriage you have to sacrifice, and this what messes a lot of marriages up, is I had to sacrifice the opportunity to be with every other woman out there because I wanted to be with Chantel. Sacrifice. I now have to sacrifice, especially when you marry and you still have children, there's some things you have to sacrifice for your children so you can see the fruit in them later on. Oh my goodness. You gotta be willing to sacrifice. Lastly, we take a stand in righteousness with those we have covenant with. Now watch this. It goes back to the second one. We are inseparable from those we have covenant with. Other words, when we do cover them, we must cover them in righteousness, meaning we are willing to take a stand in righteousness. I'm not just covering my leader to be covered them. We must be covered in righteousness. I'm covering you with righteousness. I'm covering you because of righteousness. Ruth was willing to take a stand in righteousness. Righteousness meaning being in, right standing with God. Meaning, I'm willing to do things God's way. I'm willing to unfold my life the way he wants to unfold it. Ruth, because of her stand in righteousness, was able to recover all that Naomi had lost. Oh my God, this is powerful. When you come in a covenant with your leader, you allowing the agenda of God to be unfolded in you not only blesses you, but it also allows your leader to recover what they have lost. God is raising a genuine company of covenant partners that will cause the status and stature of their fathers to rise to the next level. When you see, people think church growth, local church growth, comes from marketing. They think it comes from being able to be a favorable place, from being a charismatic place. No. The growth of the body of Christ comes from the maturity of the people in the body of Christ. Notice what Ephesians 4 and 12 says, that the fivefold given for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, so that they can do the work of the ministry, so that they can build, or the body of Christ can be edified, or they can build the body of Christ. So when you connect to your leader and allow your leader to hold you accountable, and your life begins to expand because of that, it allows you to elevate your leader to be seen, so that the person that needs to be connected to him or her can be connected also. So growth in the body of Christ comes as a direct result of the maturity of those in the body of Christ. That's what it means when Ruth was able to recover all for Naomi. Because Naomi was able to unfold Ruth's agenda, when Ruth got to where she was able to recover all that Naomi had lost with her husbands and her sons dying. Glory to God. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. That means when God is moving in your life, connecting you to a leader, when God is moving in your life, he is looking to benefit everybody. God is the only God that can take bad situations, put them together, and good situations come out. My God. That's what it means. We must take a stand in righteousness. There is a strong company of covenant people that will bring the church into its full stature when they rise together in maturity. They will do great exploits, and nations will take notice of them. If you want your church to be noticed, allow the pastor who is apostolic and needs to be apostolic, meaning connected to an apostle, cause maturity, which means hold you accountable. Bring your level of living up. Bring your standard of righteousness up. Bring your level of holiness up. Bring your level of intimacy with God up. Bring your level of intimacy with the Holy Spirit up. And watch the church expand. Now, in order for that to happen, see, watch this. Church growth, numbers are unimportant to God. God could care less about numbers. God cares more about individuals. God cares about individuals. He knows the number of hairs they have on their head. God knows everything about them. Why? Because he created them. God is concerned about individuals. So God is more concerned about the growth of an individual than the growth of the number of individuals. Remember that. God is more concerned with the growth of an individual than the growth of the number of individuals. So here we see the accurate mental attitudes. These the accurate principles of covenant are set in stone. Nothing you can do to change those. But you got something to do with the accurate mental attitude of covenant. Is these things, are you going to decide to do them? And again, they're not popular amongst mainstream church, let alone the world system. It calls you to be looked at differently. It calls you to look like you're under control. See, every cult that is developed, they develop because they leave out Jesus Christ and him crucified. Go study it. Every cult. They leave out Jesus Christ and him crucified as the central figure, as the central idea, as the central foundation. Because Jesus died on the cross so that we can be in covenant with God and each other. Which means, watch this, the curtain, see, the curtain rent in two when Jesus died on the cross simply means that the Spirit of God is now allowed to move on the face of the earth and interact with every individual. And when God interacts with every individual, he will bring them together rather than man trying to bring them together. He will bring them together. Glory to God. So every person has a decision. They have a right to decide if I want to be in this covenant with this person or not. I have a decision to make. It's not man making you come together. It's you deciding. That's why an apostle, God, that's why God has to be an apostle source so that an apostle could say what thus said the Lord and you can decide whether you want to be connected or not. Because any other way, it's a cult. Jesus died on the cross so that every individual can make a decision to access the will of God for their lives. I bless you. I thoroughly enjoyed this class. I want to continue. Next week, we'll continue with chapter 8, identifying those who join us in covenant. I want you to listen at this. I want you to begin to practice those accurate mental attitudes, some adjustments you may have to make, some things you didn't, some sacrifices you may have to make that you weren't making before. I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to show you what adjustments you need to make. Now, see, once you've been exposed, now it's up to you to decide on what you're going to do with it. I bless you. I'll see you next time.